Okay, so that's the first reason. Fasting to experience or for the greater release of power of God in our ministry. Yeah, there's not wrong, but sometimes we got to remember as we go into next week is GBF. Maybe we should fast for a greater, pray for the greater release of God's power, healing, and so on. Okay, two. Sometimes there's a problem in the house of prayer. We can focus on, oh, Jesus, I want your beauty, and that's it. No, yeah, I think that's good, and that's important, and probably the most important, but sometimes we can also miss about asking for God's hand, okay? No, it's not wrong. We need to ask both God's face and God's hand, okay? It's wrong to say that we only seek God's face, we don't seek God's hand. We need both, okay? Of course, it's an issue of priorities and order. Second, we fast for greater prophetic revelation and understanding about end time. Okay, we fast for greater prophetic revelation and understanding about end time. Daniel is one of the powerful examples. Okay, just write this down. Daniel 9, verse 3 to 23. Daniel 9, verse 3 to 23. Daniel 10, verse 12. Daniel 10. Verse 12. Daniel is one of the great Bible characters that he has great revelation and understanding about end time prophecy. And it's clear. The main reason is because he fasts, he prays. Both Daniel 9 and Daniel 10, as a result of his fasting and prayer, God sent Angel Gabriel. Angel Gabriel came and said, I am coming here right now to give you skill to understand. You know, that's why I always say this. Don't just study the book of Revelation or any end time thing or even the Bible. Bathe your study with prayer and fasting. Birth your understanding with prayer and fasting. It's vital. You know, we always say that, you know, we always read Daniel 11 verse 33. What is Daniel 11 verse 33? Verse 32 and verse 33 says what? God will raise up people who know their God, shall be strong, and do great exploits. What's the next one in verse 23? For they shall instruct many with understanding. You know, that is in the context of fasting. Because Daniel 11 and Daniel 12 is one of the longest prophecy about end time in the Bible. Daniel received it as a result of he fasted 21 days. That is in the context of fasting. Okay, so the second, that's why it's so vital. Fasted lifestyle is vital for forerunners. It's non-negotiable. John the Baptist lead a fasted lifestyle. Elijah lead a fasted lifestyle because Elijah is another prototype of forerunners. Okay, and obviously David fasts. Okay, so second reason, we fast for greater prophetic revelation and understanding about end time. Third one. We fast for the fulfillment of God's promise for our own life, for our ministry, for our nation. Do you realize that there's a requirement? No, God has prophetic destiny. God has prophetic promise for each and every one of our life, for our nation, for our ministry, for a particular church, even for our generation. We all have, but very few of us realize this. Do you know that a lot of God's promise is not guaranteed? You have to contend. You have to pray it through. You have to pray to the fruitions of it. That's why I like what Cindy Jacob says. Don't wait for destiny to come to you. Go after your destiny. It's in the context of contending and prayer. Turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 1. See, a lot of time, many people don't live out the fullness of their destiny or God's promise for their life. It's simply because, yeah, it's good to have prophecy. Don't just keep taking out the prophecy people give to you and keep looking or keep playing that now is audio. Last time we write, if you remember, we write. Now you play audio, keep hearing here. No, I think keep hearing is good, but pray over it. I have a file about, not very thick, okay, over the last 10, 15 years, all the prophetic word that people give to me, once in a while, I come out not to show, not in a while, I take it out not to show off. I'm just reading it through to pray over God's promise for my life. And that's one of the reasons why we put up all these verses on the wall. It's not our favorite verse. So that we contend for the promise that God has for our house. Don't assume that it will come to pass. We have to contend for it. We have to pray. 1 Timothy 1, verse 18. 1 Timothy 1, verse 18. Because Paul must have given quite a few powerful prophetic words to Timothy. And he realized that Timothy is kind of like being a little bit passive. So we're exhorting Timothy. Timothy, contend for your destiny. Okay, verse 18. This charge I commit to you, O my son Timothy, according to the prophecy previously made concerning you, that by them you may wage the good warfare. Don't assume. Another good example is Daniel. Remember Daniel 9? He read the Jeremiah prophecy where God promised after 70 years of exile, he's going to bring Israel back to Jerusalem. Most of us say, oh, thank God, hallelujah. What did Daniel do? He fasted and he prayed for it to come to pass. It's the same with Nehemiah. It's the same with Ezra. It's the same with Zerubbabel. They all see the prophetic word. They didn't assume that it's going to happen. They fasted and they prayed. Okay, so that's a third biblical reason for fasting. That's why I put all this up here is each time I remind myself and I contend and I pray. Okay, so if you run out of prayer focus, just look at the verse and pray it. Okay, so that's a third reason. Fourth reason. I'm going to go fast, but I'm going to dwell on the seventh reason. Fourth reason is to stop a crisis. That's a talk quite a little bit. Much more in the Old Testament. That doesn't mean that it's not relevant, okay? We fast to stop a crisis. It can be a personal crisis, okay? Like, what's the lady's name? Hannah. She faced a personal crisis. That's why she went before the Lord. She fasted. And through that, God blessed her with a child called Samuel, okay? So fasting to stop a crisis. Personal crisis. Second is a national crisis. That's why Joel called for a sacred assembly. Because a national crisis is coming 14 to 20 years ahead of time. Joel prophesied about the coming judgment that God is going to send through Nebuchadnezzar's army. And Joel said, one of the ways to avert this national crisis is call a sacred assembly. Call a sacred assembly. It is so appropriate for our generation because the greatest crisis is about to come. Yes, house of prayer is to release the greatest revival. House of prayer is also pleading for God's mercy. Perhaps, which is the book of Jonah, okay, which is the third crisis, which is a judgment of God. God is about to send judgment to this city called Nineveh. Go and read. It's a powerful story. So, in the earlier part, Jonah refused to go. Okay, eventually he relent. Okay, after being swallowed by a fish. Okay, it's not a whale. Okay, it's a fish. Because sometimes I go to some church Sunday school. They teach that. That must be a big fish swallowed the whole city. No. What's its name? Jonah got being swallowed by the whale. No, Jonah is not being swallowed by a whale. Bible says big fish. Okay. It's Pinocchio that's being swallowed by a whale. Okay. That's not biblical anyway. Okay. So if you read that, so it's powerful. So Jonah eventually went and the king of Nineveh realized the impact of it, he decreed a fast. Everybody fast, even animal fast. Man, that is serious, man. Imagine, Ing Chiu, tell your dog don't eat next week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Global bridegroom fast. Okay, whoever have dogs, you have fish, don't eat next week. You have bird, don't eat next week. Because next week is global bridegroom fast. There will come a time there will be no answer. The only answer is we fast and pray. Then it will be serious. No, I'm serious. It will come a time that will be that serious. So that's the fourth reason for fasting. Yeah. Because at the moment right now, especially modern city, we seem to have answer. There will come a time there will be no answer. The only answer is to turn to God in fasting and pray. Then the most valuable, for lack of a better word, the most valuable commodities will be fasting and prayer. That is the thing. God is going to make it happen because there will come a time there will be no answer except turning to God. Okay, so that's the fourth reason. Fifth reason, fasting for protection. Fasting for protection. Okay, Ezra. Just write down Ezra 8, verse 21 to 23. Ezra chapter 8, verse 21 to 23. Esther chapter 3 and 4. Remember, Esther is about to go into the palace to plead the king. Okay, so he asked Mordecai and the Israelite to fast for her. Okay, she actually went on an absolute fast, which is very rare, okay, which I'll talk about it later. Okay, absolute fast, that means no water, no food. Okay, she went for 3 days. Okay, I mean, I'm not advising us, you have to exercise with caution, okay, when you want to go on absolute fast. That means no water, no food for 3 days. Okay, now I water and coffee. Okay, so I don't know whether I call it a liquid fast or whatever, it doesn't matter. Yeah, coffee fast. You know, coffee fast, that means don't drink coffee. Okay, never mind. Six. Fasting for direction. Fasting for direction. Acts chapter 13, verse 2. Remember, Antioch Church, they fasted and they prayed. The Holy Spirit said, set apart Paul and Barnabas. That's where was given birth the first mission movement. And to me, it's the greatest mission movement. Okay, turn with me to Matthew 9. I want to talk about the seventh one, which is vital. In the context, explain to you why Global Bridegroom Fast is one of the most important event or highlight for houses of prayer. Okay. Turn with me to Matthew 9, verse 14. Matthew 9, verse 14, which is the seventh reason why we fast. No, that does not mean that Global Bridegroom Fast, we cannot pray for the first six items. We can. But one of the main reasons we call it Global Bridegroom Fast is because of the context of Matthew 9, verse 14 and 15. Because we're fasting for greater intimacy with Jesus. Okay? Greater intimacy with Jesus. Remember, I shared just now Matthew 6. I talked about there are two different kinds of rewards for fasting. External, which is the first six, which I listed, okay, primarily related to external circumstances, which is not unimportant. Don't get me wrong, okay? There are moments where we pray for that. But the bridegroom fast is about the internal circumstances, okay? Bridegroom fast is primarily motivated by desire. Motivated by desire, because when we fast, when we pray, we are fasting and praying to awaken, to know and feel more about God's desire towards us. That's a bridegroom fast. That's one aspect. And the second aspect is when the bridegroom fast is when we fast and when we pray, we are asking God to awaken our own desire for God. So there's two aspects. One is we are asking God to awaken our understanding and to feel more of God's desire towards us. And the second aspect, we are fasting and praying to awaken our desire towards God. We want God to increase that desire within us to want God more, to love God more, to know God more. Okay. So it's a fast for the increase of intimacy and the greater connectedness with God. That's what the bridegroom fast is about. We want greater intimacy with God. We want greater connectedness with God. Okay. Which surprised John the Baptist's disciples because Jesus is kind of like introducing a new paradigm of fasting. Okay. Not so much for more power, which is not wrong. I mean, we want to. But it's more for the increasing of intimacy. Let's read Matthew 9, verse 14. Matthew 9, verse 14 says this. Then give us a very clear indications of fasting as a lifestyle for the early disciples. Okay. The verse said this. Then the disciples of John came to him saying, why? Circle the word why. Why do we and the Pharisee fast often? Listen to this. Often. It's a clear implication and an indication that it's a lifestyle. Okay, it's a lifestyle. Say, why do we and Pharisees fast often? No, I know. A lot of time when we read this verse, most people highlight Pharisee. Yeah, they are legalistic. No. Yes, Pharisee is legalistic. But John the Baptist disciples certainly are not. They are known to be passionate. They are known to be devoted. Okay. Basically, it does not say that they are legalistic, but basically it's telling us that fasting is a norm for the early believer or people of God. Okay, let me just read it one more time. Then the disciples of John came to Jesus saying, why do we and the Pharisees fast often, but your disciples do not fast? Basically, the disciple of John came to ask Jesus. No, they are asking a very sincere question because, yeah, this is Jesus. This is Messiah. They are a little bit confused and troubled because aren't you supposed to advocate about the importance of fasting? But your disciples don't fast. The lack of fasted lifestyle troubled them. Okay, because this is very powerful indications that talking about the requirement and the importance of fasting. That's why let's go to verse 15, where Jesus introduced to them, explaining to them the reason, as well as introduced to them another paradigm of fasting, which we call it the bridegroom fast. And that is the context why we have global bridegroom fast, okay? Every first Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday of the month, where corporately, we as a house, more than just corporately, we as a house, globally, houses of prayer come together, every one of us setting our hearts, praying individually or as an individual house or for the body of Christ to have a greater revelation of Jesus. That's what it is about. That's why it's vital that we come together. Okay. Okay, verse 15. Jesus said to them, can the friends of the bridegroom, underline this word, mourned. Okay, he's equating moan and fasting. Can the friends of the bridegroom mourn as the bridegroom is with them? Basically, Jesus is explaining to them why his disciple is not fasting. He's pointing to the new kind of fast that he's going to introduce. Okay, he's telling them, yeah, they are not fasting because they are enjoying. Who is the bridegroom? Who is the bridegroom? Jesus. Who are the friends of the bridegroom? In the indication of the apostle. Jesus said, why are they not fasting? Because bridegroom is with them. If the bridegroom is there, they are enjoying the nearness and rejoicing in the relationship with Jesus. And there's no reason to mourn and fast because that is a close. Imagine God came in the flesh. You are with Him 24/7. That's what Jesus is saying. They are encountering the closeness and the nearness. Just read 1 John chapter 1, verse 1. You can feel John expressing that closeness and that longing and him missing that kind of encounters. Where he talked about the four dimensions, not just hear, not just see, but he touched and is close to this God in the flesh. And Jesus said, why should they fast? Why should they mourn? They are so close to God. They are so near to God. Okay, and Jesus explained why they are not fasting, but he's not stopping there. He said that, no, there'll come a time. I'll be gone. And then they will fast. And he's introducing this fast where it's fasting for a greater intimacy and a greater connectedness to Jesus. Okay, verse 15. But the day will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them. And then they will fast. Of course, Jesus is prophesying that the day he not just going to the cross, he will be ascended to heaven. Then the disciple is going to miss him terribly. The disciple is going to miss that. So how? What is the answer? You said fast. Fast. He's giving them the key to receive a greater intimacy and the connectedness. Basically, bridegroom fast is the depth of God will be revealed by the indwelling spirit through our fasting. It's a new form of fasting. That is a bridegroom fast where we cry, oh Jesus, we miss you. Oh Holy Spirit, you say in your word in 1 Corinthians 2 verse 9, no eyes have seen, no ears have heard, no mind has even understand. The very things that you prepare for those who love you, escort us into the deep things of Jesus' heart. That is the bridegroom fast. Where when we fast, it causes our heart to increase in our capacity to receive in a greater measure, greater depth, greater impact, and a faster speed. Sounds so horrible, the last one. Faster. No, it's true. You get it faster. It's true. More accelerated. That's what the bridegroom fast is about. That's why GBF is so vital. It's one of the highlights. You know, people don't understand. You know, sometimes I'm surprised that over all this year, we still don't understand. That's what GBS is about. We all come together. We all come together. We press in for the greater revelation. We say, can I do it at home? No, Joel 2 say what? Call a lonely assembly. On your own assembly. That's not assembly. How can it be assembly when it's on your own? Call a sacred assembly. When we press in together, you see, when we press in together, there is greater grace when we come together. That's why I always insist not being legalistic, because I'm jealous for myself to have more. I'm jealous for us as a house to have more. I'm jealous for the body of Christ in Singapore to have more. But when we come together, we press in, there is a greater grace and there will be a greater release of the revelation of Jesus when we posture our heart. And I take that seriously all these years. No, take that seriously. You know, we are. You know, see, one of the greatest trouble in the house of prayer is there's always the next GBF. But the issue is this. There's always next GBF. I'm not concerned about today. This month is October. I'm not concerned about October. No, I'm not concerned about November's GBF. I'm concerned about next week's GBF. I don't assume that I'm going to do November's GBF. I'm focused to do the October one. That is the key thing. And because, you know, sometimes because we are so casual, we end up, we are not doing it at all because we assume that we're going to do the next one. We're going to do the next one. We're going to do the next one. After 10 years, how many GBF have we done? No, I'm not getting into this legalistic thing. I'm talking about that we really press in to do it so that our heart will be enlarged. You see, a lot of time we say, we haven't really grown deeper in intimacy. Because then I always say, have you fasted in pressing in? We have not, seriously. No, I always tell people, 10 years. No, it's the same everywhere. IHOP, Kansas City, so on. They always say, 10 years. How many years you actually do it in 10 years? If you trim down everything, actually, a lot of us, it's only 2, 3, 4 years. Actually, 4 is not too bad, really. That is the key thing. Okay, no, I'm not here to judge. I'm here to cause us to realize that sometimes there's that subtlety or we are assuming that we are doing it or there'll be next week. Next week will keep passing by. You'll be very fast. Next week will keep passing by. You know, now I'm thinking about 20 years. It's true, because I'm 50. The reality is that I don't have that much time. It's true. Don't waste time. Okay? Don't waste time. I know. Some people say, what's the point? No, it's a worry. You die, you go to see God. That's not even the point. You're saying that you actually totally miss it. They must all die now. And I'm saying, yeah. Okay? So there's the 7 biblical reasons bridegroom fast. Give you 4 rewards of fasting. 4 rewards. No, I'm going to tell you some of this is because it works. Fasting works. Practice it. It works. Yeah, it's a bit hard, initially cranky. After a while, it works. Okay, I got 4 rewards of fasting. I feel like putting 5. You know why? Last one is you lose weight. And then I put 6, save money. No, actually not true, you know. You know, I realized I've been putting on weight. So when the last time I went to China, I said, hey, 你好像比较壮了. They don't use 胖, you know, like be trying to be polite. 你好像比较壮了. Wow, they kind of like, then 你 you're not fasting anymore. I said, no, fasting actually make you put on even more weight. It's true. Okay, so that's why I take out the fourth one. No, the fifth one. Save money one still can. But actually, may not work for me. After that, you top up, then never mind. Okay, four rewards of fasting. No, it works. It's true. It works. If God say you need to do this, how can it not work? The word of God, isn't it? The word of God, how can it not? You know, sometimes we, you know, I was thinking a lot about some of this word, you know. That's one of the reasons why Adam fall. That's one of the reasons why Balaam got tricked. And so, is it we fall into sin is that the moment we need to ask God the second time, then that's where we begin to open doors for compromise. When God said, you need to fast, don't even need to ask the second time. Means what? Fast, Lord. Means fast. You need to pray. Don't go ahead. So pray means what? How many minutes and so on? No. And the thing is this. Never try to do less. Aim to do more. Why we always aim to do less? Aim to do more. Things of God, why we aim less? Yeah, don't aim less. Aim more, okay? And anyway, fast a bit more, wouldn't die one. I haven't died for after 10 years. I was recently in this place, talk. Say, you've been fasted for the last 10, 11, 12 years. Yeah, see? Yeah. They're kind of shocked when it's like, this guy's from Mars or something like that. Yeah, I said, no, I didn't die. I was okay. They stopped short of touching me. Yeah, I said, yeah, no scar on it. Okay, four rewards of fasting. Four rewards of fasting. Firstly, it tenderizes our heart to feel and receive more of God. Yes. Especially if you... No, I'm not just talking about prolonged fast, you know, one you do a 40-day fast, the next time you do it for 10 years later. No, I'm talking about if you do it regularly as a lifestyle, it tenderizes our heart. That's why I always encourage people to, if you can, try to fast consistently and regularly at least 2 days a week. No, 1 day is too easy. 1 day is too fast. And 1 day not going to help you because okay lah, Sunday you stop eating, then Tuesday you wake up, you eat, right? The first day, likely to be you struggle one. You know? Open up a Bible, you think of chicken wing, you feel weak, and so on. And then come to Monday night, you're thinking about tomorrow breaking fast. Your focus is not on God, trust me. And next morning, wake up, you eat already. You go into the bed smiling, thinking of that, whatever you're going to eat tomorrow morning. It's true. But you go on a 2 day fast, Monday actually you said Tuesday, your heart actually becomes so much tenderized. Okay. And by the time you may just aim to go for Wednesday too. Because so shook, you know, oh, I read the word. No, of course not all the time like that. But that generally that's how it works. Then you go for third day, you know. Yeah. I tell you, if you go a long fast, actually the hardest is to come out. That's true. Okay, so the first one, it tenderizes our heart to feel and receive more of God. Okay, second, reward of fasting. It changes our desire for the things of God. It's true. It's true. It changes our desire for the things of God. Three, it increases for understanding for the word of God. And actually, do you know that when you fast, you actually increase spiritual experience? It's true. Dreams, encounters, and so on. Okay, last one. It strengthens our spiritual identity. That's why when you fast, take out some of the scripture that defines who you are and begin to verbalize it or say it or pray it. Like Song 2:1, I am the rose of Sharon. You like me. Begin to declare some of this thing before you realize that become your identity. No, my identity, I'm not talking about putting up the badge, but that sticks in you, it marks your heart. Okay, so that's the four reward of fasting. It tenderizes our heart to feel and receive more of God. It changes our desire for the things of God. Of course, all this takes time, okay? Third one, it increases our understanding for the Word of God and greater revelation. And the last one, it strengthens our spiritual identity. It strengthens our spiritual identity. Give you five different kind of fast or different types of fast. Okay, you can invent your own too. Yeah, but never mind. Five different types of fast. First one is, I call it full fast. That means without food, just simply drink water. I mean, you can put some salt into the water or don't put ketchup or whatever. No, bread, yeah. Without food, drinking water, put some salt or sugar. Okay, so that's full fast. Full fast. Second is liquid fast. Liquid fast. That means without solid food, but with light liquid. Not milkshake. That's cheating, okay? Or, you know, you blend a T-bone steak into, then you drink a T-bone juice. No, that's not, okay? Yeah, just light liquid, milkshake or soya bean or not beancurd, okay? Not tau hui, it's tau hui zui. Yeah, so liquid, that's called liquid fast. No, I mean, if you want to decide to drink milkshake, fine. No, I mean, we are not trying to be legalistic. I'm just trying to tell you, you want to fast, do it seriously, don't cheat. Cheat, you just say honestly, is that, yeah, it's a milkshake fast. No, fast with milkshake. Yeah, never mind. Okay, so first one is a full fast. Second one is the liquid fast. No, you just determine what kind of fast you choose. Yeah, like Darren used to do a half a banana fast, right? Yeah, that works too, whatever. Okay, that's called the Darren fast. Yeah. Third one, Daniel fast. Daniel fast, where he abstained from tasty food, okay? Abstain from tasty food doesn't mean you eat a lot, no. No, basically, he restrained. If you study, Daniel actually only eat vegetable. I see people, Daniel fast, eat mee bowl and whatever, and a few bowls. That is not Daniel fast. That means you abstain from tasty. You know, Daniel fast is actually helpful for older people, you know, because you are into the 70s, 80s, to totally not eat, that may not be wise for your physical body, or even for people who have some physical infirmities, you need to take some medication and so on. You go on Daniel fast, okay? Just eat simple, okay? You eat a lot, you know, eat two bowls of meepo without the fish bowl, then that's not really a Daniel fast, okay? That is a meepo fast, okay? So that's Daniel fast, abstain for tasting. So Daniel went into Daniel fast in Daniel 10 is because he was in his 80s already, late 80s. Okay, so no, we understand some of this physical thing, you know. I don't be gung ho, you know, you fast 40 days and you end up in hospital. That's not a good testimony. Be wise, okay? So Daniel fast. Fourth one. Some call it Benedict fast or partial fast because it's started by this guy called Saint Benedict. Basically, you need to eat one meal a day. Again, one meal a day doesn't mean you eat. The portion is for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. No. Basically, it's just, yeah, no, yeah, there are some people who do that. Actually, it's bad for your health. In fact, actually, you ask me honestly, I always think that it's harder to just eat one meal than come out and eat one meal. Okay, yeah. So, again, this is my own opinion. So that's Benedict fast. You can do that, okay? But I'm seriously encouraged. Once in a while, or try consistently, go on the full fast, or liquid fast, okay? Yeah, it's not hard. Last one. Absolute fast, which is what I talk about. You can call it Esther fast, where totally no food, no drinks, okay? Again, please exercise with caution. When people come to me about some of this, I say, think about it, okay? I know medically you can't sustain more than 3 days for not drinking, right? Yeah, so you better be careful when going. Even one day, be careful, because you can get into dehydration and so on. Yeah, I mean, I'm not against it, but that exercise with caution. And for kids, okay, especially you are growing up, you need nutrition and so on. We generally don't advise that you abstain from food. This one, they're going to be painful for them. Okay, no, you fast, sweet, chocolate, iPhone, iPad, what you have, okay. No, basically, it's a principle you abstain so that you set the focus. No, I think we have to start teaching them from young so that that is becoming part of lifestyle. You know, I remember, which I thought was very good. few months back when we did the 21-day fast, where I make the announcement, there's one kid say, 21 days. That means 21 days I cannot watch TV, I cannot eat sweet. Oh, I say, I'm encouraged. Got it. They know that that's part of their lifestyle. Yeah, so that's the key thing. No, you have to get them to grow into it. Maybe they start now, no sweet, no TV or whatever. Maybe for some, no, take walk home. But the key is that that become part of their lifestyle. They begin to understand. Okay, they begin to understand. Okay, what we advocate. Okay, I set the benchmark. I'm gonna pray for you. Okay, in One Thing Ministry, I challenge us, make fasting, or rather regular weekly fasting, as part of our lifestyle. No, aim, try. If not two, at least one time. It's not hard. You can do it. Ask God for grace to live out that fasted life. Again, I always say, no, this is part of our value. Don't say that this is not, no, this is unimportant. No, this is very important. I'll never force. It's never a mandatory, but it's a value that we embrace. It's a value that we set our heart, because this is part of being the forerunner community, that we live a fasted lifestyle. No, I understand we all struggle. I struggle too. Every time when God invites us to go into long fast, it's like, okay, thank you, Jesus. Give me grace. And I tell you, me and my wife will plan after 21 days, at 1 week, where we're going to eat and that kind of stuff. You know? Yeah, so that is that the seven rewards of fasting. Yeah, but we all struggle. But it's about we set our heart, and there is grace, and then realize that we actually can do it. But more importantly, our heart grows big because we enter into the fasted lifestyle. This is one of the core value of our house. It's not optional. Yes, it's not mandatory, but it's not optional. Okay. If you want to, I pray grace for you. Why don't you stand? No, we can have grace. I always ask God for grace for anything. See, I always say this. Any things that God require of us, He will empower us with grace. But that does not mean that it's going to be easy. Okay, again, grace for fasting is not that you have absolutely no desire for food. Yeah, I worry for you. It's just that you have a greater tenacity, resolve, and determination. There will be off days. Say, what if next week, GBF, Tuesday, then I'm going to eat a hamburger? Just press the delete button, do it on Wednesday. No? Then after that, then then keep growing, keep growing, keep growing. But the key is, cultivate it consistently. Don't keep saying that next time. Do it today. Do it now. Okay, no, do it now. I'm not saying tonight go back, then don't eat. Then tomorrow, then eat. Then that's not what it is about. But that you tell, you know, like what I said last week, you set a goal, you set a schedule, tell yourself which day you're gonna fast. What kind of fast that you're gonna do? Then you determine. Then from there, you start ask God for grace. That's what most of you know, I fast Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. I tell myself Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, I decide. That's it. And then after all these years, it become a routine. It become a lifestyle. It doesn't even have to think about it, because come Sunday, I know automatic one. Tomorrow, don't eat really. That's it. Then I just do it. And sometimes travel, that's where it become a problem. So what do I do? You know? So I always avoid flying out on Monday. Okay, yeah, if I can. Okay, let me just say a prayer for you. Just lift up your hands.